Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:07, and that's Pacific Standard Time. And, well, today, what we saw was quite an impressive day for Brent and WTI, because earlier on in the day, they were in negative territory. So, you know, WTI was as low today as 36.24, but it closed out today at 38.25, which was up $1.73, and Brent is closing back above $40. So one day of weakness yesterday, but nothing to really put a scare under the short covering and speculative rally that continues to persist. And yes, of course, there is a lot of excess supply around, but some of that will be going into strategic reserves. Some of that will be slow boating it. Instead of taking the Suez Canal, they'll be taking the Cape in the hope that prices will be higher when the cargo eventually arrives. And of course, with low oil prices, that will also encourage demand. So then, yes, prices fell because there was a lot of the stuff around. But often what you'll see, and we've seen it before, is that those that supply excess can get unwound reasonably quickly when prices are right. And the way to think about it is, you know, whenever you've been to a sale, when prices are marked down, people tend to buy more of it. And that's exactly what you were getting right now in the energy sector. So oil prices continue to mean revert. And we don't yet know exactly where they're going to peak out, but there is no evidence just yet that they have stopped going up. Now, of course, when they get to the 200-day moving average, that's an area of potential resistance. But you'd really need to see a pullback of more than $6.50 before you could even really consider that the bullish environment isn't dominant any longer. And in Asia this morning, this was a reasonably firm day for Australia. And the New Zealand index really does stand out because it's moving onto new high ground. It's been up for about two consecutive weeks, just day after day after day. And it's doing really phenomenally well, but it is becoming increasingly overbought in the very short term. And that is probably also starting to garner the interest of international investors, because the New Zealand dollar looks like it is primed to follow the Australian dollar higher. The Australian dollar broke out last week, and that makes the reasonably higher interest rate environment evident in Australia and New Zealand, even more appealing because you've got a negative interest rate environment just about everywhere else, with the exception of the UK, the USA, and Norway. So that, in addition to the fact that commodity prices are improving. So industrial metal prices yesterday were really quite weak, but copper in here today is up by 1.50 on the COMEX contract. And this wasn't a particularly good day for precious metals, but they weren't down in any kind of dynamic way. And with gold finishing out the day around $1,250, then they have had such an impressive bounce already that a little bit of consolidation is hardly very surprising at this stage. In the soft commodity sector, sugar was a little bit weaker and coffee was a little bit firmer. And sugar broke its five-year downtrend late last year. And coffee had a really impressive performance in 2014, gave the entire thing up in 2015, and has got type 2 base formation characteristics. But we won't have confirmation of that until we get a massive reaction against the prevailing trend. And that trend has been downwards just month after month for about 14 months now. So it's only a matter of time before it does break that progression of lower rally highs. And when it does, then we could see an impressive rally taking hold. Another commodity that's really quite oversold in the short term is natural gas, and it was up by about 4 cents today, but it's still only at $1.75, and it was in excess of $2 just a couple of months ago. then when you look at the government bond markets, we've continued to have this really quite volatile environment. And US treasuries were down about a point today. Bunds were also down about a point. And you know, when you have an environment where you've got such incredibly low interest rates, then you're robbing those markets of incredibly low yields, and so many in negative territories right across the yield curve. You're robbing those markets of additional demand because income funds, pensions, they're not allowed to invest on a momentum basis. They have to generate an income. And when you're buying something with a negative yield, you're not getting income. So the lower these yields are, the greater the pressure is. But I've posted two very interesting charts in Comment of the Day today. And there's a really great report by Thorsten Slok from Deutsche Bank. And it's just chock full of really interesting charts. But two are an illustration of just which central banks are printing. And you get these straight lines where there's $125 billion being purchased every month by the ECB and Bank of Japan cumulatively. So you don't have to look very much further than those two central banks to figure out why are yields in negative territory. But then you also have to look at where the shadow banking interest rate is for the ECB and for the Eurozone, and it's at almost negative 500 basis points. So you know where a lot of that money is going. That's helping to fuel the momentum move that you had in the government bond markets. So this is indicative of a massive dislocation or misallocation of capital, but that's largely irrelevant until it changes. And unfortunately, Bloomberg doesn't have that Eurozone shadow banking index, so we can't put it in the chart library, but I'll search around and I'll see if I can find it elsewhere. But it's really worth monitoring, because when that changes, it's going to have a pronounced effect on some of those European government bond indices. When we look at stock markets, the majority of European indices were in positive territory today, and the Italian index was about the firmest, and it was up about 1%. Then Wall Street is still hovering here in the region of 2,000 on the S&P 500, 17,000 on the Dow Jones, and a short-term overbought condition is evident, so it's hardly surprising that we're getting a little bit of consolidation in this area. But perhaps more important from the perspective of the medium-term trend is that this rally has got right up to test that lower high that we saw in December. And it really would need to take that out to indicate that demand has returned to dominance beyond short-term steadying. And considering that investors are really quite worried about prospects and what the Fed is going to do in terms of interest rates, and because of this negative interest rate environment has got a lot of people spooked, it's looking increasingly likely that we're going to be in a volatile, rangy environment. And in the absence of evidence to the contrary, I think that has to remain the base case. And the when you think about this over the medium term, there's a really interesting article I'm also posting today. It was in The Guardian, and it was quoting RPE, saying that they've made a breakthrough in battery technology. And batteries have been the missing link in terms of the supply chain for renewables in energy production. And if we can get a real innovation in batteries, then that is going to have a profound knock-on effect for so many other industries, because so many more things become possible if you can have cheaper, more efficient, and smaller batteries. And it's particularly pronounced for the utility sector, because they have to use as much renewables as they can, and the various governments have signed up for cutting emissions, but they've had to hold on to all of these coal-fired power stations to protect themselves from the intermittency of renewables? Well, if you've got industrial-sized batteries, and those are increasingly being rolled out. We've seen news stories about industrial-sized batteries, and I've done a number of reviews of the companies concerned, and I think I might do another one tomorrow just to update it all. But then these kinds of batteries are already in the marketplace. So coal-fired power stations are going to become a thing of the past, and that's perhaps the one sucker play that we have in commodities right now is in coal. You know, for example, Peabody Energy. I saw a piece just the other day saying that, you know, it was another one of these shares that has had an impressive rally, and it was up $1.35 today on a $5.90 share. So, you know, we're getting these massive moves, and but this is momentum. This is not a buy and hold scenario. This is something that you might play in order to generate short term profits. But the outlook for coal is likely to be profoundly bearish if, in fact, these batteries really do make it onto the market. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.